Gavin Woods Podcast, proudly brought to you by Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives.
Hi everybody, this is Russell Hitchcock from Air Supply. You're listening to Gavin Woods Podcast.
And welcome to another podcast with Gavin Wood. Boy, have we got a superstar on the line right now. All the way from Los Angeles, this guy is working with another guy. They're called Air Supply. It's Russell Hitchcock and Graham Russell. I have the pleasure of having Russell Hitchcock on the line right now. Hello, Russell.
How are you, mate? Great to talk to you.
Great to talk to you, mate. What a career you guys have had. When you consider, you know, from simple beginnings in Jesus Christ Superstar all the way back then.
It's been amazing, to say the least, because I'd never been in music before Superstar. So to imagine a career like this was mind-blowing. We thought we'd be good for like 4 or 5 years in Australia when Air Supply had Love and Other Bruises as a hit. But certainly nobody imagined this kind of career at all.
So in Jesus Christ Superstar, Graham Russell was in the same show. Before that, when did you decide that you had a great voice?
Well, I didn't. that's funny. I think I have a good voice. I don't think it's great. But I didn't sing before I was in Superstar. I mean, I was in a band when I was like 16 or something with some schoolmates. But it wasn't until I got into Jesus Christ Superstar that I worked with, you know, 50 other people that had really great voices, and musical director of that production, Michael Carlos, took me aside and he said, I want you to audition for understudy to John English and Trevor and a couple of other people. And so I did that, and then I kind of found out what kind of range I had. And, you know, it was just, everything happened, I don't know, just by accident probably. But, you know, ultimately I got to where I was comfortable vocally, and, you know, I've been blessed with that ever since.
When I say you had a great voice, believe me, you have a great voice. You are the voice of love behind Barry White.
Thanks. I'll take that as a compliment.
Oh, please do, because I love Barry White. I met Barry White at the Hilton when he came out for a tour, and I thanked him for every male in Australia for being so successful with his albums. And the same might apply to Air Supply.
Well, we get that compliment all the time. It's a compliment, yeah. A lot of guys reminisce about their younger days when they come to see our shows now. So I guess that's a good thing. I mean, a lot of guys say, you know, I wish I could tell you how much fun I had listening to your music. And I said, I say the same thing. I wish I could tell you how much fun I had listening to your music.
Do you ever get tired of it, Russell?
You know, these days, in fact, we were talking about this yesterday, and somebody said you get tired. I don't get tired of performing at all. The rest of it now, I mean, even if you, I mean, I'm in my 70s now, and it's harder to you know, do everything. But just the travel and the hotels is the biggest pain now. Plus, you know, security at airports is ridiculous. And just those menial things, you know, that you've got to get from. I mean, even yesterday we flew home. We got up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go to the airport for a 7 o'clock flight. And the flight was delayed for 6 hours in Tampa, Florida. So, you know, you tack that on to a flight that was going to be 5 hours anyway. It's practically the same as flying to Australia. Yeah. So that kind of stuff gets really boring and tired. But, you know, as far as doing what we do, I love it. And we continue to draw people all over the world. We have great crowds at the shows. We're still selling a lot of tickets, and we're still enjoying performing together, Graham and I. We have a great band. There's no downside to getting on stage. It's just the befores and afters that are a bit of a pain.
Yes. Where did the name Air Supply come from? I've always wanted to ask you that.
We recorded some demos in Melbourne at the Palais, I think, when we played Superstar. And we were going to take them around to as many record companies as we could find. And we were getting pushed within each other to, you know, to pick a name, because we didn't have one. And Graham came in, I think, the day after we had we've got to find one today kind of thing. And he said he had a dream the night before about a billboard with lights around it, and in the middle of the billboard said Air Supply. So I said, it's good, you know, good enough for me. I mean, it sounded like the music, And, you know, air, we're both Geminis, that's an air sign. I don't think that particularly came into play, but, you know, it's something to think about when you think about the name.
Well, what a career. 47 years together, still stronger than ever, 17 albums, yep. Millions of copies of albums sold. You've got you've been inducted into the ARIA Hall of Fame back in 2013. I'm sure that was a thrill for you. Us Aussies saying, good on you, Air Supply, we love you.
It was a great thrill for us, and it was something that we thought would never happen. But, you know, when it all came to be and we were told the news, we were ecstatic, and it was great to fly out to Australia and you know, be presented with the award. One of those things in life that you never expect, because you can't expect that kind of stuff. It was just fantastic, and so I'm very proud of that achievement, and the fact that, you know, finally after that many years that we were recognised for Graham's songs and the way we sang them. So it's on my mantle in the living room, and shall be there forever.
Good on you, mate. Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives since 1934. Visit tobinbrothers.com.au.
Hi, everybody. This is Russell Hitchcock from Air Supply. You're listening to Gavin Wood's podcast.
Now, you would have got a pretty fair indication from your first single, Love and Other Bruises, back in 76 in the Air Supply album. It achieved gold status. And for a first album, that's pretty cool.
You know, it was, as I said before, Superstar, I hadn't done anything musically, but that gave, you know, both Graham and I a great kind of base to do anything. And we recorded the whole album, Love and Other Bruises, in a week, I think, and had it mixed by Peter Dawkins, you know, very famous producer in Australia, Div Dragon, and God knows who else. And, you know, to actually see, first of all, when I got a copy of the single from Peter, we all had a glass of wine or something somewhere, and he used the single. And I actually said to Graham, this means more than you know to me, because this piece of plastic is forever. As long as somebody's got some means of playing it, it'll outlive me by, you know, generations and generations. So that thing was phenomenal to have that thing in my hand. And, you know, the success it had, I think it probably topped the charts there in less than 2 weeks, I think. And it went gold very, very quickly. And, you know, I used to watch Countdown before I was in the band, and I used to watch all the shows and read industry magazines. And, in fact, I worked on a couple of videos for Ted Mulry once, and I worked on a Little River Band video. But that success was certainly for me out of the blue. But and it was quick, you know, people said, oh, one hit wonder, you know, this is going to be, they're going to come and go pretty quickly. But it was a big thrill to have anything like that. That's, as I said, it's immortal, kind of, that my daughter's, you know, children's children's children will be able to play and say, you know, I know that guy, I'm related to that guy.
Granddad was a big rock star. I love it. It's good to leave something, isn't it?
Yes, I mean, it is. It's, you know, times when we do stuff like this, and I do interviews with guys like you, and, you know, you mentioned the past and the career, especially Australian journalists, and, you know, it's a big thrill, because I am and always will be, you know, Australian, and I'm very proud of that. I'm proud of my parents for giving me the chance to do what I did, to get into music. My sister, who's since passed, was a great singer, a big fan of mine. It's just been a great experience. And every time we see Australia on the schedule, it's always a thrill for us. We don't get back very often. And a lot of people say, why don't you come back more frequently? And the bottom line is, you have to be asked by a promoter, by somebody who wants to bring you out there and spend the dough and promote the concerts. I mean, it's got to make sense for everybody. So, and I say this to people all over the world, you know, why don't you come to Paraguay? Well, just ask somebody to ask us to come. We don't go, we're not, you know, that echelon of whoever you want to name, Rod Stewart, Lady Gaga, Miley Cyrus. We have to get invited. I'm sure they do too.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just a matter of being given the opportunity and the invitation, and we'll certainly be there. But as I said, to be able to come back to Oz and play, you know, I think we're playing 5 or 6 shows there. It's a thrill because that's where I'm from, where I came from, where a lot of my old friends, they show up when we have played there in the last 10 years. It's just great for me to be back, and I can go to Melbourne and stay with my family, and I tell everybody in America, I get the best fish and chips in the universe in Melbourne by far.
Well, this is a perfect time to put in the tour dates. You've been together 47 years. We're going to see Air Supply at the Sydney Opera House on the 30th of November this year. The 1st of December, you're playing at one of the best venues in my mind, the Palais in Melbourne. The 2nd of December, Brisbane Entertainment Centre. That's a big room. And the 6th of December, Perth Astor Theatre. Now, those tickets will sell fast, and I'm sure there'll be a couple of shows in each city for you, because we've been waiting to see Air Supply for a very long time.
Well, we hope we can cover as much of the country as possible. In fact, I've got a couple of notes online from people in Adelaide saying, you know, you're forgetting us again. But once again, it's not up to us to make that schedule, and hopefully we can put something together for that as well. But you know, if we're going to play one show in Oz, I'd love to play in Melbourne. No offence to anybody, because my family's there, but it's a long way, and we're looking forward to it.
Now, Russell, it's very hard for rock bands and acts to get off the island and be popular overseas. After your second album, the whole thing started. You did a support to Rod Stewart, and he invited you to America. Was that the catalyst to get you over there and get you in the scene?
It kind of was. We played, I think, 3 dates with Rod in Australia. And I don't know how that happened, that we got to open for him there. But in any case, after the second show in Australia, I think he came back to our dressing room and said, you know, he was talking to his manager and ours about supporting him in the US on the North American tour in 1977. Of course, we jumped at the chance and were, you know, over the moon about being able to do that, because, I mean, he still is one of the greatest singers and legends of rock and roll ever. Mm. So to be able to do, I think we did 60 dates with him across North America and Canada. And we thought that we would come home to Australia as the conquering heroes, but of course that didn't happen. And for a year and a half, we couldn't get arrested, but we'd had a taste of America, and we certainly wanted to get back over here. And of course, Lost in Love was recorded, and that was a hit in Australia and found its way to Clive Davis from Arista Records. Mm. And once that hit worldwide, it was, you know, off to the races. We had that incredible string of top 5 songs, and that was the launch of our career, certainly 1980.
But man, you've continued the success, and that's why Australia is so proud of Air Supply, because you've hung in there. You've had hit records. You hosted Solid Gold, which is, you know, the great rock show over there. You know, you really achieved the very height of heights and continued on. And now with all the shows that you post on social media, you know, you're still doing it. You know, you're carrying on like you're still 20.
Well, we carry on, certainly. You know, I think just before the pandemic hit, we were doing about 120 shows a year all over the world. The schedule this year has been great. We'll kind of get back to that by the time the year's over. But, you know, people want to see us, and I'm very proud of our show. We certainly made a pact between Graham and myself that as long as we thought we sounded good and had something to say, and as long as people wanted to see us, we'll still do it. And we're very fortunate to be in this situation. It's been costly in a few areas of my life, certainly. But, you know, we're dedicated to doing what we do and staying on the road and keeping the Air Supply name and music alive.
The good thing is, you know, you've opened up Asia as well, so that's probably the last market for you. But tell me about when Cuba opened up and the 2 concerts that you did there. The first concert, quite impressive with the amount of people in the crowd.
We got to Cuba a couple of days ahead of time to Havana, and you know, we did a bit of sightseeing. We went to the local music college, and the students there played some songs for us, and we sang a couple of things. But the night before the big concert, a hurricane came in, and basically, as the show was about to begin, it hit really hard. It was pouring a torrential rain, but there was 175,000 people at the venue. It was on the beach, kind of. I couldn't believe it. It was more people than I'd ever seen. We played to 90,000 at the Opera House, which was a multiple bill, but the one in Cuba was just us, and that was certainly unforgettable. I don't think we went on until 1 o'clock in the morning, so by the time we got off stage, it was probably 3:30 or something, and got back to the hotel, and they had to board everything up. But the second show, we couldn't do that because this was under lockdown. I was in my hotel room with the windows boarded up for about 36 hours, so it was no fun.
Well, 175,000 people, that's actually two MCGs when you think about it.
Well, you know, hey, I would have been happy with one. but it was fantastic to walk out on the stage, and no matter where you look, all you can see people to the horizon.
Yeah.
is something else, I've got to tell you. And you know, it's being you know, I have a list that kind of changes every once in a while in my top 10 most of exciting things that ever happened to me, and that's always in the top 5 certainly.
What's number 1?
Well, you know, probably meeting Lady Diana at the Australian Bicentennial.
Oh, okay.
That was unbelievable. And I still have a video of it. It's very grainy now.
Yeah.
But she stopped and chatted with us for, you know, quite a few minutes. And but, you know, that probably still emotionally, as far as business, in the first time we were presented with a gold record in Australia was great. The first platinum album in America was great. You know, and then we got our greatest hits achieved, I think at the time was like 5 million copies in the US alone. That was another big thrill. You know, I could go back and say this is that and that's that, but those three come to mind certainly immediately.
Tobin Brothers Funerals, a family-owned business since 1934. Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives.
Hi, everybody. This is Russell Hitchcock from Air Supply. You're listening to Gavin Wood's podcast.
Now, looking forward into the future for Air Supply, All Out of Love, the musical, that's got a nice ring to it.
Yes, it does. We saw a version of it in the Philippines a couple of years ago.
Hmm.
And Graham, I think he's got 4 or 5 in the works, some totally original compositions, a couple involving Air Supply songs. But, you know, once again, you realise the strength of the material and the strength of the songs when you see them presented in a 1.5-hour musical that's all seamlessly tied together. I hope it all comes together at some point on Broadway. But as you well know, to get anything off the ground on Broadway is many years and lots of money.
Yeah, well, good luck with that. It just sounds so right. Now, a couple of questions before I have to let you go. Couple of questions without notice, the top 10 questions. First up, who inspired you to make music?
Well, I got inspired to make music the day I heard my first Beatles record. I think it was on Old Jan. I'd been, exposed to, you know, Frank Sinatra and Tony Bennett and those singers through my dad. He was a big band singer in the 40s. And I thought they were great singers, and I've always appreciated good voices and harmony. But as soon as I heard the Beatles, that was it for me. But I never thought I'd be in music. I mean, I saw the Beatles in 64 in Melbourne when
right.
I was 15, but never thought I'd be in music at all. But to this day, they still, you know, they're the only band that's complete for me. The songs, lyrics, music, arrangements, sounds, they change clothing, they change hairstyles, they change language. They did it all, and they're still my number one favourite. And, you know, that's never going to change. I can't get enough of their material. In fact, I'm going to see McCartney again in November in Maryland in the US, and I've seen him about four or five times. So it's like the Stones. I want to go every time I can.
Yes,
because you never know when they're going to quit. You know.
Yeah. Well, they just lost one with Charlie. That was a big shock.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Russell, what's your favourite song to perform?
Probably All Out of Love, because it's kind of become an anthem of ours at the shows, and people yell out for that song all night. From the first song, they yell out All Out of Love. And, you know, it really, once we've played that, there really is nothing else to play. That's like a full stop on the concert. And, you know, we just say bye for now and we'll see you next time. But that's probably my favourite.
That's your last song in the encore, huh?
Yep, that's the finishing touch to the show every night.
Yeah. Russell, name your three dinner guests, dead or alive.
Oh, okay. Freddie Mercury, John Lennon, and John Farnham.
Excellent choice, yes. That's all the lead singers getting together, isn't it, really, when you think about it?
Yep, that would be great. And I say this to this day in the US to people that haven't heard John. He has the best voice I ever heard in my life.
Yeah. If you could change anything about the music industry, what would you do?
Rewind to 1970, late 60s, 70s. It was great at that period. The whole world was in a much better place, obviously. Everybody was mellow and everybody was, well, not everybody. Most people were kind to one another. But as soon as, I think in the mid-80s, maybe late 80s, it started to change, and especially when record companies, the control was taken out of the hands of creative people and more aimed towards people that could make money for the company. So that creative part disappeared for me. And then I think, you know, and probably a sign of the times or because of the times, you know, bands came out that I love Nirvana and et cetera. But the music became a lot more angry. And by the end of the 90s, I just thought, that's it. And now you can, not that there's not great music made, but, you know, I could make a recording in my bathroom now using sounds that I got for nothing or ripped off the internet. It's all very sterile to me, and it's a lot of flash and no stash. That makes me sound really old, Gavin, but that's the way I feel.
Well, you know, on-stage experience is worth anything, and you've had many, many years of on-stage experience, and that's what gives you the depth. Now, I've just got to give you give all our listeners the tour dates once again. Air Supply will be in Sydney at the Opera House, 30th of November. That will be an amazing show. December 1 this year, Melbourne Palais. December 2, Brisbane Entertainment Centre, and December 6. In Perth at the Astor Theatre. Watch out for future dates. Watch out for future shows. But, mate, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. I've been a big fan of yours and Graham's for many, many, many years. And I love what you do. Keep it up.
Thanks, Kevin. I do sincerely appreciate your time and great interview. And say hi to all my Australian buddies that you know.
All right, mate. Give my love to Graham. All the best, mate.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Gavin Wood's podcast was thanks to Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives.